When you think of Boris Johnson, what do you think of first? The hair? The bike riding? That hair's a little bit Donald Trumpish, isn't it? It's certainly out there. He's definitely an opinionated guy. But would you think of him as an odious ass kisser? That's the last thing I would think of Boris Johnson as being. But that's what he's been called recently because of some remarks he made about Donald Trump.
You've got to realize that the American president is just one of the huge, great global brands. And he is penetrating corners of the global consciousness that I think few other presidents have ever done. So his method of tweeting early in the morning, no matter how rambunctious those tweets may be, they are communicating with people. And yes, a lot of people don't like it, but a lot of people relate to it.
Joining us now from the United Kingdom to talk about those remarks and whether Boris was telling the truth is Freddie Gray. He wrote an article, "We Might Not Like It, But Donald Trump Really Is a Great Global Brand." Freddie Gray, welcome to Counterpoint.
Thank you. It's very good to be with you.
Well, is he an odious ass-kicker?
I think he was being an odious ass-kicker then. I think he said that on Fox and Friends, which everybody knows is one of Trump's favourites. TV shows, so he was probably hoping that Trump would be watching it in his dressing gown somewhere, and that if he said that Trump was on the great global brands, and that he also said that he was penetrating corners of the human consciousness, the things that were sort of very much tailored to appeal to Trump's epic ego.
Yes,
and
is
that
epic.
Said, I didn't think it was a stupid thing to say either. I mean, Trump is penetrating corners of the human consciousness in ways that we may not realise, and we probably don't, a lot of us don't like.
It is true, isn't it, that many commentators just jump on any fault they can possibly find and seek to exaggerate that, and maybe, do you think they run the risk of missing what's going on?
Yes, almost certainly. The good comparison people say is, particularly Trump's Twitter account, it's like a laser pen and a cat. He just presses the button and the laser jumps around all over the wall, and then he just knows that the media are going to follow it around completely hopelessly because he claps and they follow. I mean, it's all very much a deliberate act, particularly through his Twitter account. However, having said that, just as far as Britain is concerned, Trump definitely went too far because he retweeted three videos of a sort of far-right group. That one of them turned out to be what he should call fake news. And Boris, having been a bit of an ass-kisser, has come out very, very cross about that and said he's briefed to people now that he's not willing to compromise with President Trump anymore.
It's inexplicable, isn't it? Why would the guy do that? I mean, you're President of the United States. You might have some views that people don't like. But retweeting those things without getting somebody, I mean, you've got an ocean of people to help you, getting somebody just to have a quick check.
Well, my best theory on this is that President Trump has a multiple personality disorder, and one of his personalities is a complete idiot on Twitter. But then there are other personalities, some of whom are quite clever. So the thing the government's trying to do is deal with the intelligent one, not the Twitter troll raving idiot.
Sure. His popularity has increased in the United States, hasn't it?
It's got slightly better, and from a very low base. And that's largely down to the economy. I mean, and I don't know how much credit, he obviously tried to take a lot for it, but I think he's just been lucky in terms of the economy has really improved a lot since he's been president, certainly the stock market has. And he is riding off the back of that, I think. But he still is, you know, historically low for a new president. So it's starting from a very low base.
Yeah, not great, but it's an improvement, I think, from 38 to 46%, so certainly not great.
And I think he's getting better at the whole being a president shtick. You know, he had this tour of Asia, which I'm sure you in Australia saw more of than we did, but it was really quite successful. He didn't really put a foot wrong. He only made one silly tweet for the whole 10 days. Every speech he gave was quite well judged and well received.
And some Chinese commentators are particularly impressed because they see him as a strong leader who makes decisions.
I think he does have a natural affinity with a lot of Asian leaders. Certainly Abe in Japan, they have a connection. And I think it is this sense that he's a strong man. And I don't think they thought that of Obama. And I think that he also has that sort of global brand because he's a business. Trump is a business. he has a global brand, which I think sort of connects in Asia, and that's probably what Boris meant when he was talking about penetrating corners of the human consciousness.
Mm. Freddie, some time ago this year, we interviewed a guy called Tom Nichols, Professor Nichols from the US Naval College. He's not a Trump fan, but he did write an article for the Washington Post, I think, arguing the case that the media should just get a bit more savvy and stop criticising everything Trump did, because this ocean of criticism would mean that when something really bad happened, it would just be sitting amongst a pile of other badness and not therefore be highlighted as clearly as it should be, and that bad reporting of Trump's errors was actually diminishing confidence in the media, and that in itself is a problem, because we want people to believe as best we can what they get through the media, because that's the conduit about democracy. And there was an example, I think, in Japan where the media just jumped. I mean, we say that Trump jumped on that anti-Muslim video without getting it checked. Well, you know, the media did the same with the one about the fish, didn't they?
Yes, they really did. I mean, and that was actually, that was very telling. It was, CNN ran it repeatedly. So the story was that they both went out to feed some koi, some fish food, and Abe put a few spoons in, Trump put a few spoons in, and then Abe turned his box over and poured it all in the water. And then Trump did too, but CNN cut it, so it just looked like it was Trump dumping the... I'm sure a lot of your listeners would have seen it. It just looked like Trump was so impatient he couldn't be bothered to do the historic Japanese tradition, and he just dumped it in the water. But actually, the reality of it was he just did exactly what Abe had done 20 seconds earlier. So this was sort of blown up and turned into this hysteria, and of course it was complete rubbish. It was what Trump calls fake news. The other example of that was during his speech. He said at some point he urged Japanese auto producers to build cars in America. And this was sort of taken out of context. Senior journalists replied to it saying, I can't believe that the President of the United States doesn't know that Japanese companies do actually build cars in America. But if you read the whole transcript of the speech, he does know that, because he makes that very clear at the beginning, and he thanks some of the people in the audience, some Japanese car producers, for manufacturing in America. The media distort something he gets when he doesn't get something wrong. They do render themselves looking pretty... Well, they render themselves useless, really, because everybody just thinks it's fake. At the moment, I think people are sort of falling in between the two. They think that Trump is peddling fake rubbish, and they think the media is peddling fake rubbish, and so there's a massive trust deficit looming.
How wonderful to hear you say that. I'm one of those terrible people that love my own views being endorsed by other people or promoted by them or agreeing with them, and I think that's right. People don't trust either. I'm talking with Freddie Gray from The Spectator in London about Trump and whether he really is a great big global brand, as Boris Johnson suggested. Freddie, the trip to Asia was a bit of a success, really, wasn't it? They had something in common with some of the leaders.
Yes, I think it was a success. I think it's probably the first big success of his presidency, in that his other trips abroad have sort of been overshadowed by either deliberately aggressive speeches or sort of silly faux pas, diplomatic faux pas, or just other leaders trying to get the better of him. Whereas here, all the meetings were really a success. He gave one quite aggressive speech in Beijing about, you know, putting America first, that was obviously tailored to the American audience, not the country he was actually speaking in.
Mm.
But the rest of it all went quite well. There were protests in the Philippines when he was there against him. But then protests aren't really indicative of the population, and I suspect he would be very, very popular in the Philippines, because, you know, Duterte, the president there, he's not as popular as he was, but he's a sort of Trump plus figure. I mean, if you think Trump is wild and crazy, times it by 10 and you have something like Duterte.
Mm, so they might well have some affinity. Look, there was a recent Pew survey on global attitudes, which apparently showed confidence in American leadership having drained, I think you say, which is a pretty rapid fall.
Yes.
Except for Russia and Israel, which is a bit interesting,
yes,
isn't it?
That is interesting. I mean, with Russia, it's because obviously the great story is of how Russia hacked the election so that Trump could win. So naturally, most Russians think he's on their side, even if he probably isn't. And with Israel, it's because, largely because of Jared Kushner, I think, Trump's son-in-law, he's a Jewish guy who has spent quite a lot of time in Israel, and he's made very sort of friendly noise about the peace process. And they really think that whereas Obama was quite dovish and quite pro-Palestinian, that Team Trump is resolutely behind them. Mm. Israelis, having been very anti-Obama, are very pro-Trump. Those are the two countries. But as you say, the rest of the world, terrible sort of draining of confidence, according to this survey. But the Trump phenomenon doesn't really sort of work on the global survey radar. I think that it's sort of deeper than that, and that he's, again, to use this sort of slightly pretentious phrase that Boris used, penetrating corners of the human consciousness. He is actually doing that, because, I mean, there was an interesting survey in London recently of school children, and they've asked them sort of what icons are they associate with America, and Trump came number one, miles ahead of Disneyland, the Statue of Liberty, and so he's bigger than, it's not just about sort of popularity or whether they trust as leader, he is a phenomenon that is big. And I think if you talk to sort of marketing people, they say everything is about communication or about the reception of the message. It's not about whether the message is liked or not.
Yeah, it's brand recognition, and really hard to deny that he's done a fabulous job at achieving that.
He's a great big orange brand that glows across the world.
Indeed. So, yeah. Look, I understand the people who don't like most, if not everything, that Trump says, but what I don't get is why there was such outrage at Boris saying this, because since it appears to be evidently true, why shouldn't he say that?
Well, I think that to understand that, you have to understand a little bit about where Boris is in British politics at the moment. He's very, very unpopular at the moment because there's all this sort of agonising over Brexit, and Boris was obviously instrumental in the campaign to leave the European Union. And so since then, he's been jeered quite a lot and hated and seen as a man who's sort of willing to gamble with the future of the country, seen by his critics, not by his supporters, as a man who's willing to gamble with the future of the country just for his own ambitions. And as a result, he's almost everything he says is jumped on. So when he was caught brown-nosing Donald Trump on TV, when it was revealed that he'd done that, or when it was broadcast, he was
vilified.
And I mean, he's vilified pretty much everything he says at the moment. But I do think it was a bit unfair on Trump, because, I mean, if you think about all the brown-nosing that British politicians did, and I'm sure a lot of Australians did, to Obama for 8 years, what Boris said was pretty small beer.
Yes. I mean, Obama did get the Nobel Prize for just sort of being the president, really.
Yes, I mean, I think, and everybody sort of sucks up to Obama in a way, and I don't object to that. He was a very impressive man, very impressive speaker, but I think that the way in which people are horrified at anyone who says anything positive about Trump should be compared with Obama.
I think there's a number of things that the British and Australian people have in common, and one of them is a dislike of suck-up artists.
Yes.
Are especially unattractive in Australia. They're just not liked. It's just... shows a lack of spine, really. In any event,
yeah.
Freddie Gray, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you very much.